Hi, everybody. I'm Patrick McEnroe, and this is Holding Court. Hello. All right, everyone. Time for a little Holding Court. Patrick McEnroe here as we get back into the flow of the podcast now in the fall of 2022. And I got some surprises, hopefully good ones, on their way soon to you, my loyal listeners here of Holding Court. Made an appearance this morning on Newsmax, which always gets a lot of attention from some of my friends and so forth on Twitter. And they've been nice enough to have me on over the course of the last year, along with many other networks, by the way, mostly CNN, of which I appeared quite frequently, especially during the Novak Djokovic issues and others in the sports world. And so I went on Newsmax this morning to discuss Brittany Griner and her continued detainment in a Russian prison. Of course, she's the basketball player, star player in the WNBA, who for the last number of years, along with many other professional female players, has been playing in different countries in Europe, Russia being one of them, where there's a lot of money for those players to play. So Brittany Griner, amongst many others, has been going there during the WNBA offseason to make big money for them, certainly a lot more than they make in the WNBA, play for a team. So Brittany Griner went back there again early this year to participate with her team in Russia, and she was stopped. Many of you probably know this, but I'll just go through it quickly. She was stopped at the border carrying some, this was sort of hash, some sort of vaping marijuana-type substance that was in her luggage as she was going into Moscow airport. I think she was going on to another city. So she's been put in jail for carrying drugs into the country, and which was a huge mistake by her. But obviously, in the grand scheme of things, relatively minor, at least if you look at it from the perspective of Western society. But Russia's got different rules. I just came back from country Singapore, where my wife was performing. I went there and back in 3 days, which was another story for another day. 18 hours there, 30 hours on the ground, 18 hours back. My wife did a big performance there. I did a little clinic for the Singapore Tennis Association, which was all good. But the point is that why I'm bringing it up is because when I used to go play in Singapore and in other countries in that area, Malaysia, for example, I specifically remember on the landing card that you'd sign as you were going to go through the customs once you landed there, that if you're caught with illegal drugs, the sentence is life in jail or death. So not that I was carrying any illegal illicit drugs. I was not. But it just gave you a wake-up call that there are different rules and different laws in different parts of the world. Clearly, Russia is one of those places. So Brittany Griner made a mistake in judgment, certainly. She claimed in her, as she hired a legal team and she went before the court in Russia, that she used whatever substance she had for medicinal reasons. Certainly very possible. You hear of a lot of athletes doing that, using some type of marijuana, something like it, to help them alleviate pain, so on and so forth. So that is certainly plausible. Anyway, she's been now sentenced to basically 10 years in jail. So this has been an ongoing now political issue as the president of the United States, Joe Biden, has gotten involved in it over the course of the last few months, back channeling with the Russian government to try to release her. But anyway, it does not look like that's going to happen anytime soon. Of course, when Griner was arrested in Russia, it was right at the beginning of the war. I think it was in February of this year, of the war with Russia and Ukraine. So that's obviously taken on a whole nother level. And today's her birthday. So because it was her birthday, Newsmax wanted to do a piece on her, and I did my preparation, as I always do, thanks to my good buddy, Captain Corey Ray at the National War College, who you may have remembered from my podcast previously, has been on to discuss the issue with Peng Shui and how it affects the relations with China and others. So he teaches at the National War College in Washington, D.C. So I've gotten to know him a bit. So he gave me lots of great things to think about, some of which I discussed this morning on Newsmax, which got quite a bit of response. So I thought I would do a little extended version of it here on my podcast, which I can pretty much do whatever the you know what I want. And that's what I'm going to do right now. So you got to look at this as Captain Corey Ray explained to me with sort of a different hat on. You look at it from what he terms and what he calls is the international in the international relations world, sort of three levels of analysis to this situation. I went through them pretty quickly because on those news shows, you don't have that much time. But number one, you look at it at an individual level. Okay. So the, from an individual level, if you look at the, what's happening in Russia, it's pretty clear that Mr. Putin is in charge. He's in charge. He makes all the decisions and everyone then follows suit. So he's got the ultimate authority to basically do whatever he wants. How is this related to Brittany Griner? It's not really. It's just, a, just you just have to understand this, that Putin's going to use her, as has become obvious over the course of the last few months, as a bargaining chip so that he can achieve whatever his own interests are, national interests, state interests, international interests, and his interests, for what we can all discern, is to continue to remain in power. I mean, that's his interest, obviously, to expand, you know, go back to what this it used to be in the Soviet Union. I guess that, that's part of the argument of why he's gone into Ukraine and Crimea and other places. But the bottom line is he's the one in charge and he wants to stay in charge. Then you look at it from the second perspective, which gets a little more, I think, into potentially how it relates to Brittany Griner, which is the state level. And as we've noticed over the course of the last, say, month or so, when we saw the pictures of people fleeing Russia, now most of those people we understood that were fleeing Russia were men of fighting age. You know, it's whatever the 18 to 35 or whatever the number is, age-wise. And these people are the people that are being recruited by the armed forces of Russia, and they don't have a choice. And from what I'm told by Captain Corey Ray is that these are people generally from the lower economic class of Russia. So Putin is essentially using the people that aren't that well off financially, maybe giving them some sort of financial incentive to participate in the war, or just saying like this is what you have to do. You have no choice. If you don't do it, you'll be arrested, or whatever else they could do to those particular people. Now, when it became apparent that many of these people were leaving, which is a message, essentially, that the Russian people, many of the Russian people, are not too pleased with what's going on and don't want to go fight against Ukraine at this particular juncture. So, because we know that Russia as a country doesn't have the same institutions of government that can check his power, you know, Putin's power. Obviously, we've gone through something in the United States in the last year and a half where you see there's different institutions of power. We saw some of the video of what happened on January 6th. So we sort of saw almost in real time how that played out. Well, in Russia, there's none of that. So the way Putin stays in power is he has a patronage network, basically an oligarchy of what he runs. So he's got a bunch of super rich people that benefit from Putin being in power, whether it's through, running government operations, running big energy companies for the government. You get the idea. And by the way, you've got to continue with Fit Biomics with Nella. I've been taking it. It is absolutely amazing. Okay. And I want you to go to the website, fitbiomics.com. And I want you to put in the code for Nella, PMAC25. PMAC25. and get your discount, because I know there was a time this summer when it wasn't in stock, but it's back. That's because everybody loves it. So keep it going. I've been taking it for the last few months, feeling amazing. Still got to work on my sugar intake, cut that down. I'm going to get there. But Nella, the product, is next level. So again, use the code PMAC25 and you will be locked in. Because these lower economic citizens are unwilling to go along at this point in time with supporting the war and participating in the war, observers within Russia, and I think people like Captain Corey Ray and others who analyzes for a living, that's all they do, and that's why I'm so interested. And I studied political science, by the way, at Stanford when I was in college. So I love all this stuff, which is partly why I get into it and try to speak out on it when asked, because I find it fascinating. But these people who are part of the Patrogen network, what we're watching for is to see if Putin starts to try to enlist those people. You know, the wealthy elite, the children of the wealthiest people, you know, the ones that get their boats, you know, stolen, or they have them in Italy, you know, the Italian government seized different yachts and freezing money in London, which happened a lot. That was a big part of, you know, the whole issue in London and in England and Wimbledon banning the players. You know, there's a lot of history between England and Russia. And a lot of financial connections as well. So all those people that have those connections, they're the political elites. They're the patronage network that Putin relies on to maintain power. So if we start to see Putin try to enlist those people, that's apparently a sign to look for. And again, as that, I find it fascinating. Again, this particular part of this triangle doesn't necessarily affect Brittany Griner that much. I think we get to the third area now, which is the international level. And this is where we see the possibility of how things play out, how it's going to affect Brittany Griner over time. Because we thought that there was a chance, well, if Biden and his administration try to make a deal with the Russian government, it could happen. Paul Whelan is another person who's being imprisoned in Russia for one of their arms dealers that the U.S. is holding, you know, sort of a two-for-one swap of prisoners. But that hasn't gone anywhere in the last couple of months. And the reason many believe it hasn't gone anywhere is because this war has escalated and it doesn't appear that it's going away anytime soon. So therefore, Putin is keeping these couple of chips that he has to use at some point. And at this point, unwilling to make any sort of deal. So if you look at it from now the Ukraine situation and what's happening there, there's three ways, right? Basically, this can end up. Number one is the decisive Ukrainian military victory, which repels the Russian advances. Russia accepts defeat. That's option number one, or that's the outcome number one, I should say. But that doesn't look like that's going to happen. I mean, Russia's got too many forces. They can obviously sort of bomb them at will, which they've been continuing to do in the last couple weeks especially. And Putin's basically banking on the U.S. to lose interest. He'll wait it out as long as he can. He doesn't care about Paul Whelan or Brittany Griner, so to him, it doesn't matter. It could go on till the midterm elections are over in here in the U.S., till the 2024 election is over in a couple of years. He could care less about that. So that's one potential outcome. The other outcome, which is probably more likely, would be a decisive Russian military operation, which forces Ukraine to capitulate. Now, because mostly the U.S. and other countries are giving so much support to the Ukraine military, and rightly so, by the way, in my humble opinion, it's unlikely that that's going to happen. And the Ukrainian people and their people fighting have shown an unbelievable will and desire to fight back against the Russians trying to take over part of their country. So it seems unlikely that Ukraine is going to capitulate, although I would say that that's a little bit more likely than number one. Now, number three would appear to me to be the most likely outcome in this international arena, which is a stalemate, whereby Russia is unwilling to continue to bear the costs, whether it's of their losing their people, whether it's a financial cost, whether it's all the economic issues that they're now facing because, you know, they're basically an outcast of the world. And so how much longer can they bear that? And will the internally the people or the class of people that support him, will they turn against Putin? You know, the, in other words, this patronage elite, this network of people there, will they start to say, wait a second, like this is too, enough is enough. We need to find some way to come to some agreement with the Ukraine. So that is, in my view, probably what will happen, but that doesn't seem like that's going to happen anytime soon. You know, so where Russia is not going to be able to advance much further to where they've gotten to, we've already seen them pulling back in certain areas. Ukraine not going to really be able to push them out entirely. So if that happens, then Miss Griner, Brittany Griner, becomes connected to the Ukrainian success, I guess, on the battlefield. And Putin's just waiting to see how it unfolds with the Ukraine to determine what he can get out of it as it relates to Brittany Griner. And she could be impacted by all three of those scenarios. Post-conflict prisoner exchange, she could be potentially included in some terms of a peace agreement between the two countries. You would assume that the U.S. is going to be heavily involved in that as well if it does happen. And unfortunately, this appears that it's going to play out for quite some time. And that's bad news for Brittany Griner because apparently the conditions she's living in are not pleasant at all. She could actually be moved to another location, which if you listen to her wife, who appeared on, I believe it was the CBS morning show recently, said she's very worried about Brittany's very worried about where she could end up. You know, some of these places that are Russian gulags or prisons, you know, right now she's in a place that's out just outside Moscow, but she could end up somewhere, who knows where, that is nightmarish, to put it mildly. So it just seems that the you know, there was a time a couple of months ago when there looked like there was some progress being made between the U.S. government and the Russian government, you know, that this was actually being discussed. And, you know, okay, they were negotiating. Is it 2-for-1? Is it 3-for-1? You got to add. That doesn't seem like it's happening at all right now. That seems to have gone totally silent. Now, of course, these things could be happening behind the scenes that we don't know about, but usually you start to hear about it if it does happen, and I don't see that happening right now. So I'm concerned. You know, Brittany Griner made a mistake, but it's certainly not something where you deserve, in my opinion, to be in jail for 10 years in another country. You know, I know a lot of people out there saying, you know, she's anti-American and, you know, she just didn't stand for the national anthem. What? I mean, come on, let's get over it. Let's get over it. I mean, this is a woman who's trying to make a living, who's had to deal with a lot of crap because she came out as a gay person. She's married to another woman and people just looking for a reason to attack her. I don't know her personally at all. But that to me, that's sort of irrelevant to the fact that she's been detained, and it sounds like she's been illegally detained. Who knows? Maybe they made it up. You know, they could have made this up. I mean, and just her lawyers told her to admit you had it. I mean, that's possible. Even though Griner did admit, did say in front of you know, one of her court appearances that she had it in her bag. She didn't know it was in her bag. It was put there by mistake. You know, these are all things that her lawyers could have told her to say to just to try to get some leniency from the judge. But that didn't happen. So at the end of the day, The Russian foreign policy, as I said this morning on Newsmax, is nothing more than trying to piss off the rest of the world, at least apparently, and especially the United States. So Putin wants to do anything he can to piss off the United States, particularly the United States, as Rob Finnerty, who's a host of Newsmax, pointed out very well, that is the U.S. that's given by far the most money and weaponry to the Ukraine, and therefore Russia's looking to upset the international order and the U.S. world order more than anything else. So that's their primary objective at this point, in addition to taking back, in their view, land from the Ukraine. Of course, in the Ukrainian view, that's a whole different story. And even China, who's sort of stayed neutral on this because they've considered themselves, or we consider that they're more on the side of Russia, they can't be too happy, you would think, with how this has affected the global economy. And because, you know, China's all about that. And they've had some issues that they've had to deal with. So this is confinement of Brisk Reiner when you take it from the perspective of Vladimir Putin is meeting his desired end state. So that's using her as just a small chip in his mind of where this can go or where this ends up between Russia, Ukraine, and the rest of the world. And unfortunately, I don't see, having spoken to, and again, I want to thank Captain Corey Ray at the National War College, who teaches there. I've been on a seminar with him and some of his students at some point. I'll probably do that again this year. There's other topics to discuss. He specializes in these types of issues that are related to politics and sports. And we've got the World Cup coming up in the Middle East. That's going to be a topic to discuss in the next couple of months as well. So there's an endless amount of these. Novak Djokovic, will he be allowed to go back to Australia? I got a lot more tennis stuff, obviously, I'd like to get to over the course of the next couple of weeks. I know people have been chomping at the bit for a little Laver Cup recap, the year end and where we're headed there. Djokovic will be in the year-end championships. Iga Swiatek on the women's side, continuing to dominate. So we've got plenty of issues to discuss from the tennis world, and we'll get to those as well. So I hope you enjoyed this little recap of my appearance on Newsmax. Again, Newsmax asked me to come on. I'll come on. I know everybody's, oh, how could you go on Newsmax? I go on and I do my thing. Okay, I don't worry so much about what their thing is. A lot of people came after me for going on CNN for many months, as I was doing previously this year. So that is my summary, giving a little extended version of the Brittany Griner story. We hope she is having as good of a birthday as she can, but we know she's not, being in the situation that she's in. So we send our thoughts and prayers to her, and certainly to her family as well.
Holding Court with Patrick McEnroe is powered by Mudhouse Media.